Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome again to Food for the Journey. Well, we continue this journey of Lent, a time for you to know, to understand how dearly you are loved by God, and that when He calls us to change, when He calls us to grow, when He calls to cause us to be sometimes humiliated by our own sin and our own mistakes, He doesn't call us to be humiliated. He's just bringing us to a place of humility where we put God first, where we acknowledge our sins and our mistakes, where we don't hide things, where we don't try to put on a show for other people, but that we're honest and genuine and sincere before God and before others. That's what God wants, because that's where peace is, honestly. We spend so much energy sometimes trying to hide our sins and our weaknesses. I understand that. What I want is that you have not spending your energy trying to shore up yourself, but spend your energy drawing closer to God, because He is your Lord, your Creator, your Savior. He can give you everything that you need, but it means putting Him first. Please open your hearts. Please see that God is inviting you to draw closer to Him, to trust Him, to admit our weaknesses, to admit our sins, wherever that's required or needed, to be able to do that honestly and simply. I did it. I'm guilty. Will you please forgive me? Whatever that is, can be simple, but genuinely asking for forgiveness. I'm sorry. That's a step in the right direction. I'm sorry. But let's look at it more deeply. Don't just say the words. Are you genuinely regretting what you have done or what you have said? And if you're genuinely repenting for it, then it means you're going to change. You're not going to do it that way again. And that's where it takes the grace and power of God to change. Even if they're in this Lent, I don't even say even if, it would be wonderful if there's one area in your life, one area of sin, weakness, temptation, one area that you try to hide. If you were to take just that one area and open your heart to God and say, will you please help me with this? Will you please help me with this? It might be anger, hatred, bitterness, jealousy, a lying spirit. There's all kinds of things that work in us. Take one area, bring it before the Lord so that what you can offer God this Easter in return for His death for you, He died for you, you'd be able this Easter to say, Lord, this is one area I give back to you now, and I turn away from it. You might slip here and there, but you're really telling the Lord, I want to change, and you give that area back to God. What a gift for your Savior. What a gift that He offered you mercy, and you took it. You're receiving it. Oh, brothers and sisters, open your hearts to the living God, who's right here with you now. First reading from the book of the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 17, verses 5 to 10. Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in human beings, who seeks his strength in flesh, whose heart turns away from the Lord. It's what we do when we depend on ourselves as the source of everything. It's up to me. I'll do it. I'll work it out. I'll take care of it. When many times we can't. Cursed is the man who trusts in human beings, or I'll get that guy to help me out. It's all right to turn to other human beings, but not as the source of your answer. The source is God. Turn to God. Turn to God. Scripture says that a man like that who turns away from the Lord, he is like a barren bush in the desert that enjoys no change of season, but stands in a lava waste, a salt and empty earth. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose hope is the Lord. He is like a tree planted beside waters that stretches out its roots to the stream. It fears not the heat when it comes. Why? Because it has the source of living water. Its leaves stay green. In the year of drought, it shows no distress, but still bears fruit. So if you're really connected with the Lord, then no matter what happens, the good and the difficult, you're still able to bear fruit. Why? Because your roots are in the Lord, not in yourself, not in your job, not in a particular relationship. Your roots now I'm talking about. Other things are very important, but not the root. Is your root down in Christ? Are you drawing from him the living water that you need? More torturous than all else is the human heart, beyond remedy. Who can understand it? It's true, we bounce around all the time. I, the Lord, alone probe the mind and test the heart, to reward everyone according to his ways, according to the merit of his deeds. Notice, I, the Lord, alone. I know what is the deepest motivation inside you. I know fully, sometimes better than we ourselves, exactly what I'm doing and why I'm doing it. Put your hope in him. Don't try to just go on your merry way, because you will one day have to render an account. Render it now and put your trust in him. Blessed are they who hope in the Lord. Blessed the man who follows not the counsel of the wicked, nor walks in the way of sinners, nor sits in the company of the insolent, but delights in the law of the Lord and meditates on his law day and night, reading scripture. He is like a tree planted near running water that yields its fruit in due season and whose leaves never fade. Whatever he does prospers. Not so the wicked, not so they are like chaff which the wind drives away. For the Lord watches over the way of the just. And just people are not those who have no sin. We all have sinned. We all have fallen short of the glory of God. But the righteous one, the good one, the just man, is the one who sees his sin and repents and then turns to the Lord for the source of help that he needs. And the gospel, according to Luke, chapter 16, verses 19 to 31. Jesus said to the Pharisees, "There was a rich man who dressed in purple garments and fine linen, and he dined sumptuously each day. And lying at his door," all right, now that's right outside your house. That is, in effect, right in your own neighborhood, right at your place of work, right in school, wherever you are, whatever you're doing, there is a poor man or a poor woman, in this case named Lazarus, covered with sores, who would gladly have eaten his fill of the scraps that fell from the rich man's table. Dogs even used to come and lick his sores. Dogs. Dogs took better care of him than other human beings. I could weep over that. When the poor man died, he was carried away by angels to the bosom of Abraham, the heart of heaven. The rich man also died and was buried, and from the netherworld, where he was in torment, he raised his eyes and saw Abraham far off and Lazarus at his side, and he cried out, "Father Abraham, have pity on me." And now what's he want to do? He wants Lazarus to serve him. "Send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am suffering torment in these flames." He doesn't get it. He's totally consumed with putting his servant in jeopardy and asking his servant to do everything for him, but he does nothing for that servant. Abraham replied, "My child, remember that you received what was good during your lifetime, while Lazarus likewise received what was bad. But now he is comforted here, whereas you are tormented. Moreover, between us and you, a great chasm is established to prevent anyone from crossing, who might wish to go from our side to yours or from your side to ours. We are forever separated, in effect, is what he's saying. And then the rich man says, "Then I beg you, Father, send him to my father's house. For I have 5 brothers, so that he may warn them, lest they too come to this place of torment." But Abraham replied, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them." And he said, "Oh, no, Father Abraham, but if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent." Oh, brothers and sisters, do we listen to what the scriptures tell us? Do we obey? Then Abraham said, "If they will not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded if someone should rise from the dead," meaning himself. If we don't receive the gifts that God has and gives us day in and day out, if we ignore God, then our hearts are hardened. And then in very difficult times, we don't know where to go. And then we stand before the judgment seat of God and expect that God is just going to wipe the slate clean. He will, if you're repentant now, he will wipe the slate clean. Brothers and sisters, we need whatever areas of sin we have, we need to humble ourselves. We need to humble ourselves. We can't be proud and arrogant. We can't be like the rich man. And look at Lazarus, how destitute he was on the face of this earth. And yet look what God gives him in heaven. So different from what the rich man will receive. So different. Why? Because God looks upon the poor with kindness and mercy. And he looks upon the rich who use their gain, who use their what they have earned and use it for the good of others, he will bless them. But when we hoard, we take to ourselves, we start to exercise a kind of authority because we have so much people listen to us, and we become proud and arrogant. We become controlling. Brothers and sisters, those of you who are wealthy, take a look at what you have and ask God if you're using it for the purposes that he intended. How are you using the wealth with which you have been blessed? And for those of you who are poor, very poor, God draws very near to you. He loves you. Put your trust in him. Ask him for help. And may the ears of all the rest of us be open to the cry of the poor. May we reach out to them and help them. Because when we do, God draws very near to us and blesses us. He really does. Brothers and sisters, this parable is so important. Please heed it in your own life. May God bless you. For the free copy of my booklet, Faith More Precious Than Gold, dial 1-800-282-4789. For the CD, 40 Days Journey, Encountering the Love of God, go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. Cost of the CD, $10. God bless you.